It's time to catch the beat for Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign, and Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop is at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at Jane Addams, that's addamsbooks.com. As always on WEF, the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEF Champaign, Prairie Air Inc., station management, the board of directors, or the WEF associates. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. I'm delighted to welcome Saul Baer, well known in this community as a clarinetist with many ensembles, playing from klezmer to symphonic, from the Rose Bowl to the Krannert Center. Saul, I have always admired your success at making music your career, playing, teaching, navigating an intense schedule of rehearsals, which often require travel, and never losing your love for music and playing and the community you perform with. So welcome, Saul. This is a snowy Sunday afternoon. I'm delighted to get to visit with you a little bit. Tell us what your principal gigs are now.
Now I've really narrowed down my traveling. I used to travel all over Midwest Illinois and play in Peoria and Danville and Springfield and Decatur. And I've limited it because of getting tired of driving in the snow and having to dodge the deer, so to speak. And so now I'm playing with the Sinfonia da Camera, the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra, and I play with my pals Robin and the Toad. We gig all over, and we just played a fun gig at Rose Bowl. We've played at the lobby, you know, when Krannert has those uncorked.
And now this is Robin Kirtan, who is one of the principals at Community Center for the Arts, which is a big source of music, both playing and teaching in downtown Urbana.
Yes, she and her husband, Tom Foe, plays guitar, run the Community Center for the Arts. And Todd Gallagher, which is a funny story how we got our name, because we took a trip to Cuba and we're waiting in the lobby to fly back home. And over the PA system comes an announcement, Toad Gallagher, que viene a la aduana, que please come to customs. That's how we got the name Robin and the Toad and the rest of us Toads too.
I'm delighted to know that. I certainly didn't.
There's the story behind the name. And Jeff Magby and Tom, Robin, and my dear, dear friend, Salvatore Percoco, play in it. And we have been many formations, but this is the one now that we have seemed to really settle into. We used to be the Knights of Cabiria. This is who we are now, and we're really kind of settling into our groove.
You just mentioned a trip to Cuba, and my next question was, before you settled in Illinois, you managed to combine a love of travel with life as a professional musician. And so you've spent years playing in Central and South America, and you had rather exalted roles. You were the principal clarinet of the Philharmonic Orchestra of Santiago, Chile, and also the National Symphonies of Chile and Costa Rica. So tell us a little bit about your adventures.
It kind of started when I was working on my master's degree at Northwestern, which at that time was the mecca for clarinetists to go and study. It had the principal clarinetists from the Cleveland Orchestra, Robert Marcellus, Larry Combs, who was the assistant principal clarinet in the Chicago Symphony, and Clark Brody, who was principal clarinet. And I had the great good fortune to study with them all. I had left Louisville, Kentucky to go out and seek my fortune. While I was at Northwestern, we had all these extremely talented clarinetists vying for positions just in the orchestra there, and really scrambling to get whatever gigs they could. And I had taken quite a few auditions in the United States. There are usually quite a lot that are applying for one small position in an orchestra. And it would be like a cattle call, you know. I'm starting to think, wow, this is really challenging. And then all of a sudden, I get a call from a buddy who I had gone to school with at the University of Louisville saying that they needed a clarinetist in the National Symphony of Costa Rica. So lo and behold, I sent Gene a tape and a resume and applied, and I got the gig. And there had been other really fine clarinetists from the United States who had been playing there. It was an orchestra comprised, it was kind of like United Nations orchestra of orchestral musicians. Costa Rica at that time was trying to form their own national symphony. They had a beautiful, beautiful concert hall, kind of the replica of the Paris Opera that they had used taxations on coffee and cocoa for chocolate and tobacco. And they built a gorgeous, gorgeous hall. They went around, the conductor at that time had gone around the world hiring people from all over Europe, from Switzerland, from England, from France, from Korea, from Japan, and all over the United States too. A lot of the wind players were from the United States, and a lot of the string players were from Europe and South America, with Chile, Argentina, Uruguay, all over, Bolivia. I was very excited to go down there. And so I did, and I had 4.5 years of enjoying playing there and having adventures. And then things happened, and there was a change of government. The government had been very welcoming to having foreigners, and then it changed political parties, and they weren't so crazy. We had all kinds of benefits from the orchestra. I was able to drive my car down there and have it without having to pay taxes. And it was a really great, great, great adventure playing with all these people. And we formed and played lots of solos and chamber music in the art museum down there, and played concerts at the Alliance Française and at the American Cultural Institute. Great soloists came in, and got to travel all over the country and play concerts. And there was another orchestra where we, for the local public TV station, we performed all the Beethoven symphonies, and did, you know, we just had a real blast and drove all over the country and got to work on my Spanish a lot. Drove my car down there, which is another long story, after having gotten pulled over by Sandinistas in Nicaragua.
Ooh.
Yeah, my car broke down on the international highway to come down there. So after the change in government, the acceptance of foreigners wasn't quite as good, and we didn't get a lot of the help that we had had. I ended up leaving and going back to the States, finishing up my master's, which I had put on hold. And then I got a call from a friend who was in the orchestra down in Chile. I went down there to play with the National Symphony. And that was a very interesting time when Pinochet was still in charge. I was there for, oh, almost 2 years. Kind of the same thing happened. I was making really good money, and then a big devaluation hit. I left and went home and auditioned and got into the Grand Rapids Symphony and played there for 10 years. And then I got another call from Santiago, Chile, saying they needed somebody to play in the Philharmonic. They played opera, ballet, and a concert season. And so that was very exciting. They had a beautiful gorgeous hall, the Metropolitan Hall, played almost 2 years there and came back to the States to come to here. And here I am.
You've done quite a few tours, Cuba.
I went to China with Symphonia, which was a total blast. I got to go to Shanghai. We toured all over Beijing and played at different venues with Sinfonia da Camera, stayed at an amazing hotel and played there. I have been to Taiwan as an I also teach Alexander technique. Went to Taiwan to play a chamber recital and to do master classes on the Alexander technique. Did a residency at University of Taiwan with Sinfonia. We also traveled to London.
Let me ask you about your early years, how you found your way into serious interest, and how it was the clarinet.
I reached the point in high school where I'm trying to figure out, well, what are you going to do? What do you like? And I had success in high school playing the usual solo and ensemble concerts and playing with various organizations. And I had, this is how it happened, I had a girlfriend who was a marvelous violinist. And she went on to go study at the University of Louisville. They had a very fine faculty. She is really super talented. And so I kind of went there. I followed my girlfriend and went there. And so I got to play with the Louisville Orchestra and get a really fine education. By the time I finished my bachelor's in music, it was time for me to think about my next move. My girlfriend had gone on to Curtis and played in a really fine string quartet. And I had been doing some playing it to the Interlaken National Music Camp in Interlaken, Michigan, and played there for a couple of summers and made some good contacts there. I had been playing a lot with the Louisville Orchestra, playing with other ensembles in the area of Louisville. And then after going up to Michigan, I started playing some in the Grand Rapids Symphony as an extra. So it just kind of grew, and just following my instincts. I loved music. My mom was a very fine pianist. She tried to encourage me not to go into music because it's such a hard business. And my father, who he had the soul of an artist, and he loved to write and he wrote plays. He was a lawyer. He became a lawyer so he could make a buck. And he did not like that, but he got to use his skills with words and he loved acting. And you have to be a bit of an actor to be a good lawyer. He wanted me to follow my heart and go into music. I was re really interested in music. A couple of times I almost went into cooking school, but I didn't do that. I'd gotten as far as signing up, but then I was going to have to leave music, and I couldn't quite bring myself to do that.
I'm also curious about how you would describe your instrument, the clarinet, which is not something that children commonly study, I don't think. Talk about its sound, its range, and how you came to love the clarinet.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. As a youngster, when it's time to go and you pick, I mean, I had taken piano lessons and was doing well, and we had gone from a piano teacher who we really liked, who moved out into the country, and then we got a piano teacher who was like a stereotypical witch, she was a good pianist, but she was mean, and my sister and I would come out of our lessons crying. So then we decided, okay, this isn't working out. Got to be that age where you could start a band instrument, and I wanted to play saxophone because Jerry Gleisner, who was like the Fonz on our street, he rode a motorcycle and had a black leather jacket, and he was really cool. And they said, "Well, you're a little too small to play saxophone right now. Why don't you start out on clarinet?" And then they got me recordings of Benny Goodman and Artie Shaw, and I just fell in love with the sound of the clarinet, the beautiful, beautiful velvety tone and the ring that a clarinet has, the dark, creamy sound, mellow legato that a clarinet could do. And the range in the woodwinds, it can go very low and it can go very high. And it can play extremely, extremely soft, softer than almost any other instrument, pianississimo. And then it can play really, really, really brightly loud. And it was used in classical and in jazz. That's kind of what happened. I was hooked when I started listening to Benny.
Well, now I'm going to have to go back and listen to some of those too.
Oh, they're great. They're great. I got a bunch I can loan you.
Okay, good. I'll take you up on it.
Yeah.
I have interviewed a number of people who live creative lives, and you certainly live a creative life. And I have a few questions I've asked everybody, so see how these sound to you. How do you make space in your daily life, the busyness and the stuff, to keep your creativity as a musician?
Very good question. I find that when I'm not keeping at it, I guess it's kind of like a shark. If you don't keep moving, you die or something. You got to keep moving. I start to get a little grumpy. I get a little bit out of sorts and a little bit like something's not right, because it's become a way for me to just really keep in touch with myself, kind of a meditation. That when I'm really paying attention and really listening to myself and listening to the music and seeing how things are going and just seeing, well, okay, what can I do to make this better, or what can I do? It just connects me. I mean, I've always had this from my mom, and I had a grandfather who was a cantor, so there is this musical gene that's inside me, it's going on, or a musical genie. And I feel like it really is a big part of me. And I find that it also keeps me honest too. You know, if I start getting over egoic about the whole thing, then I lose a little bit. It's a little hard to explain, but it just keeps me on track, feeds me and keeps me going. And I'm not going to get rich, but I've had many riches come to me from doing it, many friendships, and a couple of close scrapes, but we won't go into that.
Okay. Another question for you. Do you feel that you have made sacrifices in building a life around being a professional musician?
Being philosophical about it all, everybody makes sacrifices somehow in doing things, and I feel like I have had the opportunity to focus on the things that I really think are important in life, and I lose track of them still. There was a time when I almost left music to start a business, and remember feeling like I was feeling very sad that I was selling out, losing my soul a little bit. I ended up not following that path, luckily.
Was that primarily for financial reasons?
Yes, it was totally for financial reasons. That too's another story. But it's good because I learned an important lesson, and I decided to just reaffirm myself with this, because I did not end up getting a job in Chicago Symphony Orchestra, but I have gotten to play so many, many great, great works, and with so many great musicians focused on what I've got.
Well, I think the essence of playing music with a group, instruments or choral, is that you really need to depend on each other and get to know each other's styles so that you can blend and create a good sound.
Right.
So many creative pursuits are personal, are solitary.
Right. Well, I'm fortunate that I'm in an area where there are lots of very, very fine musicians, and there's lots of fantastic venues to use, take advantage of, and lots of very fine musicians that I have learned from here in Urbana. I mean, I had not planned on staying here, but I ended up putting down roots in a, you know, and I love the community. I really do, and I feel very fortunate to be here. And I have been able to scrape together a way to continue feeding my musical ambitions and musical and artistic and making connections with some very fine artists here.
I've seen you play many times, and I am always struck by the joy in your playing and in the group. The enjoyment of the group, the interactions are wonderful to see.
Thank you. We played at the Rose Bowl the other night, and people came up and just had some very, very, very lovely things to say, and I was just so appreciative that I'm able to touch some souls.
What has been the most satisfying to you in your life in music?
I do think the ability or the opportunity to travel and to connect through so many adventures and many places, connect with so many wonderful, you know, my right now when you're asking me, I'm thinking about all the people that I have connected with and all the experiences that I have had in Chile with connecting to great artists and great people and students that I had down there and that have gone on and to play in really fine ensembles and playing with fabulous musicians in other countries. And the human connections too, just been a real gift. Again, I ain't got a lot of money and I am ragged and funny, but I just travel along and I'm singing my song and I'm having a good time and mostly a good time. Going through some rough moments here and there, but that's the way it is. But I think the thing that I have really enjoyed the most has been that ability to make those connections and those friends and those opportunities of joining together. Friends, food, family.
That's a good one. Well, you got to put music in there too.
The three F's, yeah,
Now,
friends, food, family, and music, yeah.
let me ask you a hard question or hard to put words on. There
Uh-oh.
is something about music that is recognized as being able to penetrate the spirit almost more than any other experience. Do you have any words of wisdom about that?
I have thought about that a lot, actually. It is a hard question, but it's a good question, and it's an important question because I think music is a form of communication where it goes beyond words, and you can touch people's hearts and touch people's souls and touch people's minds. It's a deeper kind of connection, spiritually and just humanistically. Being able to connect to people and being able to connect to yourself is what the arts and what music can do, that deep sense of connection and communication. In klezmer, that's what they talk about. The musician, him or herself, is an instrument of God, you know, and just the ability to go beyond the mundane, so to speak.
I want to thank you very much for sharing this time with me and your insights and your experiences.
Well, it was really delightful for me to share these things and to go back, just think about them again. Think about all those moments again, and you know, it's like getting out your photo album.
That wraps up our time for this week's Catch the Beat. I give a big thanks to Saul Bear for an inside view of the life of a professional clarinetist. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and by Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at janeadamsbooks.com. I'd like to spread the word about new programming coming to WEFT from Pacifica affiliates. Our Monday 5:30 p.m. courier slot has been filled masterfully for many years by Vicki Nyswander with her Disability Beat, a groundbreaking show unique across the country. She and her husband, Mark, another WEFTy, who has been a cornerstone of our well-being and creativity for many years, are moving on. Disability Beat and the show they've shared, the Friday Morning Weekender, have ended this week. Next Monday, December 8th at 5:30 p.m., WEFT will join 150 other stations across the country, offering the unique Pacifica-produced show Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots. This is a radio program that celebrates community stories. Coordinated by Pacifica Radio's affiliate network, Sprouts showcases audio production at community radio stations and independent production groups from around the world. It is renowned for its diverse local voices brought to a global media platform, and I have been encouraged to submit a proposal for a show to be aired on Sprouts, so I hope that WEFT will soon be represented in that national programming. WEFT is a proud member of Pacifica's affiliate network, a family of more than 200 independent and collaborative community, college, internet, and low-powered stations in the United States, Canada, and Europe. Pacifica Radio owns five radio stations, KPFT, KPFA, KPFK, WBAI, and WPFW, in New York, Los Angeles, Berkeley, Houston, and Washington, D.C. It has pioneered the field of public, community, and independent radio since 1949, with the mission to further peace and understanding by broadcasting the uncensored voices of artists and journalists. The Pacifica Foundation is a powerful voice promoting public community radio. It is particularly alert under the current administration to call on Congress, state, and local leaders to exercise their constitutional powers to ensure oversight, investigate wrongdoing, and reject any policies that erode civil liberties. I was fortunate enough to collaborate on nationwide programming around three protest events this spring and summer, our local hands-off rally in April, followed by the Lighting the Night and then No Kings in October. They provided technical, logistical, and safety trainings and were on call all day long to help any reporter who might run into issues around freedom to report and record. So look for Sprouts, our new show on Mondays at 5:30, and enjoy the benefits of being a Pacifica Radio affiliate. You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming on weft.org. All episodes of Catch the Beat are archived on the WEFT website at weft.org under Public Affairs. You can also listen to live stream and archive shows on the WEFT app, available on your favorite app store. With thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod. See you next time.